A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Chris Evans here to thank you for listening to my podcast.
This week on the podcast, TV's Fern Cotton, Sky Sports' Kirsty Gallagher, Jamie Bell talks Rocketman, Stellan Skarsgård chats Chernobyl, plus Clive Anderson tells us about his new show Mystic Britain, Jason Fox and Victoria Pendleton talk all things SAS Who Dares Wins, the celebrity special, and the guilty feminist herself, Deborah Francis White, tells us what to expect on her new tour. All of that and more on the way. Enjoy, my friends, enjoy!
Our next guest is a master of mindfulness that made her name on Kids TV, grew up with us on the radio, and continues to inspire us in her books, podcasts, and on stage. Please welcome to Virgin Radio our very own happy place. It's the wonderful Fern Cotton.
Good morning, Fern.
Oh, that was lovely.
On Wednesday, I was walking the dog Sparkle through Great Windsor Park, and this lady came up to me and said, "Oh, there's a lady around the corner, she lost a dog. It's a cross between a little terrier and a whippet, and if you see it, it's named Stephen." I said, okay, let's look for Stephen. She said, "Oh, by the way, I miss your show. I love your show. I said, "Oh, right." She said, I can't get it because I've not got a digital radio. I've only got one of those home speakers. I'm like, that's the easiest way to listen to our show. She says, "Well, what do I do? I said, "Well, you just say to it, play the Chris Evans Breakfast Show." "It can't be that easy, can it?" I said, "Yes, it is. Try it when you get home." Yeah. And it's so frustrating when you hear that.
Did she find Stephen?
No, because Stephen wasn't hers. She had another dog. Mm. I tried to help. Well, I did help to find Stephen, but I didn't find Stephen. Sparkle, my dog, also helped to find Stephen. We didn't find Stephen. I'm not sure if Stephen was ever found.
I like pets with man names, like Trevor, Brian,
Stephen,
Dave.
Colin.
Yeah. Colin's
Richard. Colin's a very good one.
We've got a shrimp called Dave.
Have you really?
Yeah, fish tank.
Do you know about shrimps and their brains?
No. Go on.
Okay, if you read Jordan B. Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life. The first chapter is all about the lobster and the lobster family, of which the prawn, was it prawn?
Shrimp.
Shrimp.
A wood
shrimp.
Shrimp
prawn. All part of that family.
A wood shrimp.
Wood shrimp.
Wood shrimp.
Yeah. And our family name is Wood, so it's perfect.
Well, it is perfect. Yeah. It is perfect. Is that why you bought the wood shrimp? Did you buy it? Did
you
buy it?
Is that why you
married? Yeah, my son was like, "That's the shrimp for us."
Okay.
Wood.
So you just got the one?
Where?
Yeah,
and then
where
six
do you get
fish.
Them from?
The pet shop.
Really?
Yeah, we bought six fish for my son's birthday and a wood shrimp.
Okay, there you go. Oh, yeah. So would you not think to buy two so the wood shrimp had a little wood shrimp mate?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. He walks around with his little hands and he just cleans the tank up. It's brilliant. Yeah. He's like me in shrimp form. He's cleaning constantly.
Around
he's
like the Marie Kondo.
Yeah, he is.
He's the Mrs. Hinch of the shrimp
that's
world.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Go shrimp yourself. Has he got an Instagram account?
I should get him.
Because that's exactly what she should have. Mrs. Hinch, move over. What's his name again?
Dave.
Dave the Shrimp
Dave
is in town.
Right, I'm
Dave
doing
Wood.
That. That's good. When I get home, that's happening.
He's not impish, he's shrimpish.
We've got a catch line already. Catchphrase.
Right.
Okay. Love that.
I can't remember why I was telling this. Oh, yeah. Because
shrimp's brains.
If they get into a situation of conflict, two shrimps, then they will do anything but have a fight. So they have different ways of letting each other know who's the strongest so they don't have to come to blows because they're a peace-loving species.
Yeah.
But they do come to blows sometimes and it's usually fatal, which is why neither of them want to risk it.
Wow.
Because that's a bit of a risk, you know.
Well, so they just sort of look at each other.
Yeah, but first of all, they look at each other.
Right.
Then they fire a scent at each other, which has their testosterone in it. And different levels of testosterone means more aggressive and stronger. And so one shrimp can say, "Oh, there's no point. He's got rocket fuel and I've got like two-stroke inside me." But then what happens is if a shrimp backs off or is beaten in a fight without dying, if it doesn't die, that shrimp's brain then melts.
What?
It melts.
Don't be silly.
No, it melts. It melts. It disintegrates.
How do you all know? Rachel's nodding.
Because it's in Jordan B. Peterson's book and he knows everything.
Wow.
Right? So basically,
we need to read this.
What happens is the shrimp's brain melts completely, okay, and then it grows another brain which is more subservient, which makes its life more bearable.
Wow.
That's all going on with Dave.
I'm getting Dave a friend. Are we going to test this theory out?
We're going to do that.
We're going to melt a brain, guys. Yeah.
Poor Dave.
A little shrimp brain. But Dave's getting an Instagram account. That's going to be
that's going to happen later on.
That's the thing.
Yeah. You know,
how many
Rex will love that.
How many followers do you have?
2.7 million.
Million. Okay, I think Dave's going to outdo you in about a minute.
Well, now.
Because people love an animal Instagram account.
They do.
Okay, how many followers do you have? Instagram followers?
Just over 300
million.
300 million.
I think I've got about 40.
Yeah, okay. Billion.
That's good.
40 billion.
Yeah, billion.
Oh, good luck, Fern.
Thank you.
Good luck on catching up with these two.
I know.
300 million and 40 billion.
Oh, watch out. Dave
never happen.
You need Dave. You think Dave needs you? You need Dave.
I know. We all need a Dave.
Shrimp
chat.
Need
how
a
random.
Dave.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
He pirouetted into our lives as Billy Elliot and has had Hollywood dancing to his tune ever since. Now donning snazzy clothes and incredible hairdos as Bernie Taupin in the Elton John biopic Rocket Man. Excuse me. Please welcome an actor that's music to anyone's ears, the wonderful Jamie Bell.
It's Frothy Man. Good morning. Rocky Man. It's Rocket Man. Good morning, Bell Man. How you doing?
I'm very well, Chris. How are you?
Very well. Congratulations on what I've seen so far and heard so far.
Thanks, man.
What kind of buzz are you feeling? Is it as ecstatic as ours?
I'm kind of in your department. I haven't seen very much of it either, so I keep hearing that people like it and that they're excited about it, so I feel good about that. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us, first of all, how you hooked up with the producers of it. How long has this film been talked about? Because I know that Bohemian Rhapsody has been talked about for 8 years before it got made, because Roger Taylor told me 8 years ago that they were thinking about making it.
I think this movie's been long in gestation. But for me, I first met Elton when Billy Elliot premiered at Cannes, and it was 150 years ago. And he was so moved by it. He then obviously did... the music for the musical, for Billy Elliot the musical. So I've always kind of like been somehow tethered to him in some kind of ether.
Yeah.
So when this came up that I might be able to get to play his longtime lyricist, Bernie Taupin, it just felt like the right thing to do. But I'm sure they've been wanting to make this movie for decades.
So is it all with Elton's say-so? Is it all with his blessing?
He's a producer. David Furnish is a producer, yeah.
I see. All right, that's really interesting, because from what I've heard about some of the fantasy scenes, and Jamie will tell us more about those in a second or two, it's so interesting because I was hoping that could only have come from Elton, and that must obviously be the case.
It does kind of spin off into the surreal kind of fantasy element, I would say.
And that's because, for people who don't know...
I think that's because how else do you tell the story of Elton John without it being a fantasy? Because he has lived this kind of insane fantasy for decades and decades and decades, you know?
And there's one scene that Miss Ellie described to me about. He's playing one of the big stadiums, might be Shea Stadium or Madison Square Gardens for
Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles,
right.
Yeah.
And he hears, before the gig, that the Beach Boys are at the bar, that Neil Diamond's...
Oh, that's the Troubadour, yeah.
The Troubadour. Yeah, Neil Diamond's at the bar.
Yeah.
And he goes on to play...
Leon Russell was there that night as well.
Okay, Crocodile Rock. And what happens in the movie?
The crowd literally elevate off the floor and float in midair, apparently.
Which is a suggestion that that's what Elton may have been seeing at the time
for various reasons. That's how he made people feel, well, that's true, high as a kite. He's going to be high as a kite till then. Yeah.
Did you see Kingsman?
I did see Kingsman,
of course you did. Yeah. Because there's a big clue to all the to who was going to play Elton at the end of Kingsman.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, that was Kingsman 2, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Kingsman. Because Elton was in Kingsman 2.
It was the last one, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, I didn't see that one.
All right, so Tara, obviously.
Taron.
Is in Kingsman 2, he's in Kingsman as well.
Yeah. But he also was in an animated film called Sing, where he actually sung one of Elton's songs. He sung I'm Still Standing in that movie.
So they have a bit of previous
together. Yeah, they have that, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think in Kingsman 2, they were making the movie, Kingsman 2, Matthew Vaughn.
Yes, correct,
movie,
he directed that. Yeah.
And I think Elton was around with Taron because they were talking about Rocket Man, and so they said, "Elton, you're not free next Tuesday, are you?" And right. So that's why he's in the last 10 minutes of Kingsman 2. Elton is like the mad, you know, the Dr. Evil character at the end, but it's actually Elton John.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and Taron sort of
typecast,
assails him. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you play your Bernie Taupin. When we watch the film, it seems, and I sense, and because I've been fortunate enough to be involved in, you know, many things like this and TFI Friday and things like that, I get the sense that you had a great time making it, because I can sort of tell. I had a sixth sense for these kind of things.
Right.
Please tell me I'm right.
You are right. I mean, I think when you're coming to work every day and you're hearing these songs and there's dancers dancing and these big set pieces, it's hard not to have fun, you know. And Elton is about joy. I mean, he really does bring a lot of joy into people's lives, and he's still doing it. He's on like a 3-year world tour just to say goodbye to the world. So he's definitely, you know, he loves having fun, and we certainly had a lot of it on this movie as well. So, and seeing like Taron sing the songs, he performed all the songs live.
Oh, come on, tell us about that. That's important.
Well, I would say like he came in with a strong voice already because he'd been singing on other movies, but I would say by the end of this film, he was definitely capable of like holding an arena show on his own. Really? I mean, for sure, his voice got so strong.
From a musical point of view, it's very difficult to be any more talented than Elton John.
I would agree, yeah.
If it's possible at all, and it might not be. It's also difficult to have had more fun than Elton John had in his heyday, and to take it to the nth degree and still be here to tell the tale. It's very difficult to be wiser than Elton John, or more gracious, or more selfless, or generous than Elton John. He's not a bad human being for us to have enjoyed, is he?
No, he's survived so many things. As you mentioned, his AIDS campaign and his AIDS charity, the amount of money that him and David have managed to raise. I was at his Oscar party this year, and I think they raised something like $60 million just this year.
Well, I think every royalty from every record that ever gets played, every Elton John record that ever gets played anywhere in the world, every single penny, forever goes to the AIDS charity.
Yeah, exactly.
It? So all this music we're playing now, that all goes on every radio station in the world, MTV, movie soundtracks, TV adverts, etc., etc., etc. I heard once that one of Elton's eccentricities, and he has many because he's Elton John, so he can, was that every day he gets 5 brand new toothbrushes of different colours wrapped in their wrappers, and he picks one and then gives the other 4 to charity. Do you know about that?
I don't know.
Can you find
that
out for me next time?
I will ask him specifically.
Okay, all right. Yes. Jamie, well done.
Thanks, mate.
Love to see you
Good
again.
Good to see you as well.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
Dapper Dave, over to you.
He's a stamp of guaranteed quality on any film or TV show. Scandinavian acting royalty and father of Tarzan. Soon to be seen in the riveting new Sky Atlantic series Chernobyl. Please welcome the man that puts the dish in Swedish. It's Stellan Skarsgård.
Hey, Stellan.
Hey. Did I get a copy of that?
The only way that could have been better if it was in actual Swedish, in your mother tongue, because it would have been even better then, wouldn't it?
It's a beautiful language. Yeah.
Imagine if we had somebody there, somebody here who could do that. Dave, back over to you.
Om du ser den mannen i en film vet du att den är bra. Han är en skandinavisk skådespelare, ikon och Tarzans pappa. Snart ser vi honom i nya Sky-serien Chernobyl. Kan alla säga välkommen till den underbara Stellan Skarsgård.
You're very welcome, Stellan. How about that?
That was impressive.
Yes. Yeah. Is it like being back home on one of the islands?
It was, yeah.
Totally. You're welcome.
Okay, because David is married to a Swedish lady.
I am. Oh. I'm trying to learn Swedish now, so she helped me with that quite a lot.
It's amazing. I mean, you meet a lot of men all over the world, and they've all been with a Swedish woman. I don't know how many women we have in Sweden.
Well, hang on a minute. He's not been with it. He's married to one. It's a bit more than the sign of being with one.
I'm in.
It's a little bit more committed than that.
Yeah, a little more.
They're very pretty, aren't they? They're beautiful, beautiful women.
Yeah. They're beautiful and they're strong. I mean, it's the most emancipated part of the world, so that's why they're all over the place.
They are.
There we are.
They're all over the place. Yeah. Do you have your own island? I asked your son this. I said, do you have an island? And he said, what do you mean, do I have an island? Well, I said, well, there are 26,000 to choose from. And often in Sweden, if you buy a detached house, it's on its own island, is it?
Well, I have a house on an island, a summer house on an island, but it's not, I share that island with about 1,000 people.
Okay. So, but you can get one on your own, can't you, if you want to?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Summer house on an island in Sweden. You've got it all.
No, the archipelago outside of Stockholm is fantastic, and you can take your boat to a restaurant on one island, and you go shopping on another island.
How cool is that? No wonder you're all so laid back and chilled with life. So from one extreme to the other, to Chernobyl, back in the 80s, and Ukraine. Congratulations on this. We've all watched it. Fern hasn't watched it, but she doesn't work on the show, but she would have watched it because we've got this special sort of encoded secret link. It's going to be on Sky Atlantic and Now TV as well from Tuesday the 7th of May at 9 o'clock. That's the first episode. It's an extended episode. It's 1.5 hours with ads. It's amazing. Can you describe... For people who don't know the story, do you mind telling the story? Do you mind telling this particular series' take on the story?
Well, the take is actually the truth, which is rather rare nowadays sometimes. But it is what happened in 1986, 26th of April, when the reactor number 4 in the power plant of Chernobyl exploded. And it was a horrible accident. But the take on it here is to tell the truth and also to find out why it exploded, which is not only a technical failure, which it was to a certain extent, But there was a reason for a technical failure, and that was that the Soviet system was a system that was supposed to be perfect, which meant that everything that sort of threatened the idea of perfection was suppressed. So nobody would recognize any flaws, even technical flaws.
Incredible.
And it's incredible, and that led to this horrible accident. And that's why it's so important today as well to see this show, because we could have different reasons for suppressing truth or suppressing science. And it can be because you live in a Soviet system, but it could also be financial reasons. I mean, the Fukushima accident was for profit reasons. The problems with Boeing planes is for profit reasons. You suppress important facts to gain something.
Yeah, usually not to the good of the many.
No, I mean it's. I mean, when it comes to like climate change today, with a few strange exceptions, every politician knows that we are actually heading for a catastrophe.
Yeah.
And nobody does anything.
Well, I hope the world is ready for this. I wasn't ready for it. I really wasn't ready for it, but I was very glad to watch it, and I can't wait to watch the whole of the series. Stellan, thank you.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Three guests down and still loads to go, still to come. Tash tells us about her London Marathon experience with the kids and the pram. Grand Design's Kevin McLeod, Sue Perkins and Leah Hazard chat about Leah's new book, Hard Pushed, A Midwife's Story, and Sue's new book, East of Croydon. But first, this.
He's written for Not the 9 o'clock News. He's presented Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's had his own chat show. He's annoyed the Bee Gees. And now he's back with Mystic Britain, the show that scours the UK looking for our most mysterious sights. Please welcome the mystical marvel that is Clive Anderson.
Good morning, Clive.
Good morning, Chris. It's always important to listen to your introduction to remember who you are, what you've apparently done.
What do you think of yourself and your career?
Yeah. I like you say you're a king of broadcasting.
Well, you are. You're one of the kings.
A knave, maybe.
Well, I think so, okay. Yeah. The Bee Gees thing, that's going to follow you around forever, isn't it?
I'm afraid so, yes. It was, you know what it's like.
I remember watching it. I remember watching it at home. I thought, oh, this is going well.
Well, when I watched it back, I could say, oh, yeah, that question annoyed them. That one, and I managed to tread on every sort of toe available.
Because your show, your chat show, I mean, how long was it on Channel 4 for?
It was on about 10 years on Channel 4.
It was massive, wasn't it?
I think that
it?
Was BBC, though. I'd moved to BBC by then. So
we set our clocks by it. It was that, not the 9 o'clock news. We absolutely loved it. You know, ruling the roost then. But you were never really a sort of typical TV star, even though you were... You know, you were king of the ratings for a long time.
I won't say king, but I probably not as showbiz as some.
But you did. Was that the irony? Because it was quite a showbiz chat show in a way, wasn't it?
It was, but we covered a whole range of things. But that particular show with the Bee Gees, it was a big evening. I'd done a show, and then we were pre-recording for the next week with them. So the studio audience was really up, and so was I. But it didn't go as well as it was.
But you focused a lot on your questions, didn't you? Because your questions, I mean, you thought a lot about them. I presume many of your questions were written because they were very funny questions. Did it matter about the answer?
That's a fair criticism in that question.
It's just an observation.
I imagined that if you asked a difficult question, if you turn it into a joke, it made it less less severe.
That's what you thought.
The opposite, of course, is the case, because especially if there's an audience chuckling away, it's a bit sort of threatening to the guests. But some people thrive on that.
Who enjoyed, like you say, who thrived on your format?
Well, people like sort of Stephen Fry or Ben Elton. You know, people you can have a little bit of a go at, but they'll come back at you. It's like a tennis match for me. If you're fairly evenly matched, it's good fun. I don't mind if you'll have a go at me back, and that's when it worked. And for some people, like a politician, if they're quite severe, but you bring out their funny side.
Who was good? Who sort of shone there unexpectedly, perhaps?
I remember one... One person who got a good thing, and John Prescott, who's famous, he struggles sometimes with words. But I asked a sort of led with my chin, what job would you like if you weren't in politics? And he said, I'll do yours. Looks easy enough. And that was a great response.
This show, it couldn't be more different from the things I think you've done in the past. Do you like the telly you make? Do you have to do that, or can you just make telly that you know other people will like, and therefore you are serving a purpose and of significance anyway?
Well, I like, generally speaking, I like the telly I make, and I like the telly I make in my mind. And then I say, well, here's a good idea, and I go to people with them, and I don't know if you... appreciate this. You know, quite often, your good ideas don't get taken up.
Yeah.
But then things come in the other direction as well, which they say, oh, would you like to do this? And this was one like that. They said, oh, do you like to do a program which looks at history and prehistory? It's got sort of mystery stories for the Smithsonian Channel, which is based on the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. It sounded an interesting project, as it's turned out to be. Whether I kept that in my mind when I was it was all filmed in the winter, so all the filming seems to be done in a wet field with an archaeologist standing next to it saying, look, we found some bones here, or look at these rocks. Yeah, the ones that have got, you know, horizontal rain going past them. Yeah, well, this was here 3,000 years ago.
So a Witches and Demons episode one, great way to get in there,
yes,
hook them in.
Yeah.
And the Royal Right Witch episode two, Hadrian's Mystic Wall episode three, I bet that was good fun, wasn't it?
Hadrian's Wall is a beautiful part of the country. I don't know if you must have
I've not been,
filmed
no.
there.
Have you been there?
No, there's a run
of
across the whole
run.
Of it.
Of course,
yes,
there's a run
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
A run, yes.
Well, I did some of that run. must have done at least 40 yards walking. I got to play a musical instrument there. And I was looking at the Romans, got as far as, you know, the north of England, almost what became the north of England, Scotland, and kind of gave up a bit. So they had to build a wall to keep out these dodgy locals who they were slightly frightened of.
That was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, that's only episode three. Then we got the Revenants episode four, the Pagan Prince episode
Revenants
five.
Is good. You'll like that.
Okay, come on.
This is not the ancient past, but it's a village in Yorkshire called Warren Percy where a pit of bones has been discovered. Human bones, and they've been mutilated after death. And you think, oh, what's this? Some events go on. No, they come from a period of 300 years. There's 300 years of bones in this pit, in this medieval village. So our programme takes the form of a sort of, not quite a detective story, but, you know, why? Where do these bones come from? Why were they being murdered and put there? Were they dying and being mutilated? And we go through, explore a number of different theories and come up with, I think, almost the bizarrest notion. I don't know if I should use a plot spoiler, but it's kind of in the title. But it's, anyway, that's a real sort of mystery rather than mystic, I suppose.
Right, it's a great one for the kids to watch on demand. No, it really is. It's a great programme for
them. There's a lot of history in it.
The Pagan Prince, Mummies, Ice Age Shaman, Human Sacrifice, Secrets of Stonehenge. Who doesn't want to see that? The compilation episode at the end.
Yeah.
I thought it was ye olde compilation episode.
Yeah. Stonehenge is great because you can do a programme about Stonehenge and then 10 years later go back and do a different one because a new theory has come along.
All the time. Yeah. Well, Clive, love to see you again.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Dapper Dave has the next big intro.
If our next guest is within 10 feet of you, there's a strong chance you'll have gone way over budget, have roped in a friend to help, and are probably dealing with an unexpected pregnancy. Just before Grand Design Live starts tomorrow at London's Excel Centre, please welcome the glorious Kevin MacLeod.
Kevin, we all love you so much. You're not I mean, you know how much I love you, and I know
and
you
likewise,
haven't...
Chris.
It was a bit, bit too quick to be sincere. Sounded like you had it ready. But everybody loves you.
Bless you.
Channel 4, I hope the golden handcuffs are firmly secured because Kevin is hot property, talking about his very latest constructed hot properties. The last time you were on the show, you were on the phone. And I asked you to hang on the phone because I wanted to talk to you off the air. And I asked for your advice about buying a house. And you said, you don't buy a house, you build one. I said, Kevin, I just want to buy one. No, you must build one. We'll build a house together. I don't want to build a house. No, you have to build a house.
So what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, I've got no choice, am I?
Good.
You gave me the bloke's number and we're going to see him in 2 weeks' time.
Yay.
Fantastic.
Wow.
I'll give you a few bloke's numbers, but I'm assuming you're going for the best man. Yeah?
I'm going... Well, you can't... Let's hope the other two don't know who they are, then they'll be devastated.
Be discreet about this, but yeah, no, great. I think you should. I think it's a great experience and, you know, it's empowering and rejuvenating.
Right, anybody want to ask Kevin any questions about their house, about future houses, about should we all build a house together? Kirsty Gallagher, from a safe distance?
From a safe distance. I can't believe you just said that. Barn conversions. Mm. What's your thought on
What's your
that?
Theory? What's your theory? Theories about barn conversions?
Barn conversions. Not,
do you like them?
Barns, like churches, aren't designed to be lived in, so they're hard to do. They're hard to get right. And it's hard, you know, but there are some crazy good ones out there.
I've seen one. That's the thing. I'm not going to do the conversion, but I've seen a very good one.
Oh, don't buy one. You've got to build your next place. Do all these old-fashioned buying things. You have to build.
Yeah, but you heard what Kevin said. I mean, yeah. I think it's a good one. I mean...
No, you got to build it. You got
to
build it.
Not allowed.
You're not allowed to buy anything.
I'll speak to Kevin
anymore.
After about that.
Yeah, just ask me more advice and Chris will tell you what he thinks.
Okay. That's what he already does.
The man you recommended to me, yeah. He chops the top off old cottages, doesn't he?
Well, he's done other things too, but yeah, he did an amazing thing. He took a fantastic bungalow, it was a dreadful bungalow on top of a hill, surrounded by a tall hedge, chopped the hedge down, took the roof off the bungalow and put a huge projecting first floor on it so that it's kind of... You wouldn't know that it isn't a really beautiful contemporary house, but until you realise that the ground floor has got this kind of stick-on fake stone cladding, you know, from when it was a bungalow. It's still the same bungalow.
Wow.
We do this every week now.
Oh, yes.
Posters on your wall. Give us a poster on your wall.
Oh, my Lord.
Come on.
Jane Seymour.
Oh,
Peter Wingard. Peter Wingard.
We'll stick with Jane Seymour.
Yeah, right, just stick with Jane. Yeah, exactly.
Fern,
might help you.
You're chomping at the bit here.
Yeah, there were many of Hanson.
Hanson, there
yeah,
you go.
Loved them.
Okay, Kirsty Gallagher.
I still am a bit obsessed by him. Keanu Reeves in Point Break. Mm. I even went to Blockbuster Videos, and you know in the window, they used to have those big cardboard cutouts of when a film was out. Yeah, I went and got someone to get it for me.
Did
put
you?
It in my room.
Steal it? Was it
theft? No,
was it actual theft?
No,
was it a crime?
Have you done
was it a
with...
crime of passion?
No, it wasn't. They asked. They said, "Have you? When you finished with that?" And they were like,
upcycled.
"Oh, just have it."
Yeah.
So they walked down old Ascot High Street with old Keanu.
I love
Point
it.
Break.
I know that blockbuster as well. It was so good.
Yeah, do you remember?
It had the cheapest Ben and Jerry's in the land.
What did you have on your wall?
I had Alan Jones in his Formula One Williams car and the Liverpool football team. Andy Burrows.
Yay.
Posters.
Cameron Diaz.
Okay, Stellan Skarsgård. Did you do posters in Sweden? Did you have posters on your bedroom?
Well, I didn't have anything for masturbations.
No, I
just had Guernica by Picasso.
The Scandinavian take on life. Okay. All right. But the reason I asked this question is because the next bit is the most important bit. Okay. Blue tack or drawing pins? Go, Kevin.
I don't think blue tack was invented.
That's what somebody else said. Hang on. That's what somebody else said last week, and it was invented.
And moreover...
It was invented.
I'm still struggling because the wallpaper, which my parents refused to change, was my Thunderbirds wallpaper, which I'd had since I was about seven. So this was lasting well into my teenage years.
By the way, Stellan, that wasn't why... Your initial reply to my question, that wasn't why I had Alan Jones in the Formula One car. On the
I don't know.
Well, no, seriously.
I like cars, but
not that much. Right.
Blue tack. Day long.
Blue tack all day long. Kirsty?
Well, it stood up, didn't it?
Yeah, it had its own stand.
Keanu stood up.
Yeah, but your posters. Oh.
Which bit of Keanu?
No, hang on a minute, guys. Seriously, back off.
I would always use blue tack because...
No, you don't have to qualify it. You don't have to... Don't feel bad about it. You don't have to mitigate it.
Leslie wouldn't like it.
It's a simple question. Drawing pins or blue tack. They're simple.
Well, pins make a hole, so no.
Can we add folded up bits of sellotape?
Well, no, you can...
When you double it over.
No.
When you double
fair
it
enough,
over.
Fair enough, you can do that.
Double it over, yeah, that's brilliant.
Okay, and your answer to that would be?
Folded up bits of sellotape.
Didn't that tend to make the poster hover off the wall
a little
bit?
It did, yeah.
It wasn't flat. It's highly 3D.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
For most people, midwives are among the first humans you come in contact with. Here to pull the ward curtain back on the reality of a very difficult job is the author of the brilliant Hard Pushed, A Midwife Story. Let's all breathe and push for Leah Hazard.
Good morning, Leah Hazard.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Her book is selling by the truckload. So representing birth, we have Leah Hazard with us, representing life. Now, Dapper Dave.
She was last here getting our Game of Thrones juices flowing. Now she's back to give us the lowdown on her epic journey through Southeast Asia in the new book, East of Croydon. Please welcome the author, broadcaster, comedian and self-confessed dreadful traveller, it's Sue Perkins.
Welcome, Sue.
Thanks, darling. And now Bon Viver. Delighted with that.
Well, you are a Bon Viver.
I
you,
hope so.
You celebrate life
I
with every
bon
breath, don't you? I
yeah.
think so.
Well, I hope
and
so.
Here we are in episode 3 week of Game of Thrones.
Extraordinary. And yet we can say no spoilers, but the majesty rolls on. Did you love it?
Yes, I did love it. So we got, as I say, we got Leah Hazard, who is a midwife. You still a midwife?
I am indeed.
You're still a midwife. Now, Adam Kay, of course, he wrote This Is Gonna Hurt,
yes.
sold over 1 million copies. Your book is the midwife's version of that. You don't mind mind that comparison. Surely you don't mind that comparison.
Absolutely. He's been very successful, rightfully so. So, yeah, I'm delighted with that.
All right. When did you start becoming a midwife? Your book begins, of course, with your first day at a delivery ward. What was all that like? Why did you become a midwife? Were you a backing vocalist on Top of the Pops first? Did you work on Newsnight? How does that happen?
No, I wish that the Newsnight comparison is maybe a wee bit closer because I used to work in telly. I had a very unglamorous job in telly before I decided to retrain. That was really because I had my first child, and as it does, birth kind of brought all my priorities into quite sharp perspective, and I decided to do something that could make a bit more of a difference, maybe to one or two people. So it was a sort of slow, gradual path to retraining. Landed myself right in the middle of things as a student midwife, and in terms of what it was like, probably abject terror would be the best way to describe starting off.
Adam is no longer a doctor. Are you still a midwife?
I am. Hopefully, as long as they'll have me, I'll be back at work in a couple of weeks. So still practicing.
Because I hear stories, and obviously we had the twins 7 months, 7.5 months ago now. And the midwives were brilliant. I mean, awesome, good. As always. Yeah. But you hear stories about the fact they can't take their break and they're having to walk down corridors while eating anything they can lay their hands on because somebody else is having another baby.
Yes.
And so who in their right mind who becomes a midwife would ever choose, a sandwich over a human being?
Yeah,
absolutely. Because that's what's happening, isn't it?
That is a stark choice, but yeah, it's a choice that has to be made, and it's not uncommon for us to kind of miss our breaks, and obviously we work really long shifts and are quite overstretched.
And go breakless for like 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, it can
no
happen.
No breaks whatsoever.
Yeah, it can happen.
Oh, it makes my blood boil because it's all preventable. It's preventable, yes, with funding and respect, a combination of the two, and giving you the props you deserve, and it breaks my heart that you should have to make that decision between feeding yourself or ministering to somebody who needs you in a ward. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. Most babies you've delivered in one shift.
Oh, in one shift, yep. Probably three. And I think that was when I was a student, because what happens when you're a student is you kind of have to catch as many babies as you can in order to just kind
Do
of...
Do you literally catch them?
Sometimes.
Is that how it works?
Because
the twins, when Tash was having the twins, they went to check her dilation and they went to check it because they said, oh, well, you're 2 centimetres about 4 or 5 hours ago, so you're probably about 5.5.
Sure.
And they went to check it, and the first baby, Boo, she just came out while they were checking. They went, because what they said was, just give one little push so we can see the baby's head. One push, whoosh,
there's
literally shot out. Somebody catch that baby because there's another one on the way.
Yep.
Can we get some more midwives in here? And that's what it can be like, isn't
it? That is what it can be like. It can be really, really quick. And women constantly are surprising us with, how they crack on in labour. And we're much tougher and stronger than we think. So, yeah, midwifery is definitely full of surprises. That's what keeps it good.
And when you have a funny story to tell, or you've experienced a funny story, how do you decide whether you can put it in the book or not?
Well, every story in the book is kind of a composite of different true stories that have happened to kind of protect patient confidentiality.
Right.
But there are so many funny stories and then tragic stories and fascinating stories. And hopefully I've come up with a bit of a mixed bag of everything.
Give us one of your funnies.
One of the funnies. One of the things that didn't make it in the book was quite often we have babies that are in an awful hurry to arrive and they arrive out with the hospital. So there was definitely a shift where I caught a baby in the front seat of a transit van before I had my breakfast. And
you had to run out?
Yes, because the department where I work, we're sort of triage, so it's like A&E for pregnant people.
Yeah.
So if somebody is delivering in the car park or outside the hospital, we're sort of first responders, as it were.
Mom at school, this again, I think it was the end of last year, just around the twins, before or after the twins were born, one of the other mums at school gave birth in the front of a Range Rover in the passenger seat into her birth pants.
Very nice. Yes, I have caught a baby inside somebody's leggings.
Yeah, those leggings. It was the stretchy leggings.
They're very stretchy.
Baby in leggings.
Baby in leggings. This was a woman who I had just examined her in my department, and I thought, okay, we've got time to get round to labour ward. She was very relaxed. We were sort of just walking, strolling along the corridor to labour ward. All of a sudden, she kind of makes that classic noise, and I think, all right, okay, what's happening?
The
old baby in the gusset noise. Absolutely spot on. And you could actually see the curve of this baby's head within the leggings.
Oops.
And she had her baby, but all was well. Passing member of staff flung her fleece jacket over the baby, kept us warm, and off we went.
My mate's a doctor and was pregnant and just started to go into labour and went, oh, stuff and nonsense, I'm not going to trouble anybody. finally sort of a couple of hours in, thought I probably should go to A&E now, was 8 centimetres dilated.
Common true story.
Yeah, just wanted to really brave about it.
The shepherdess that we had on from the Channel 5 programme, she's got 9 kids, and she gave birth to one of her middle children, one of her many middle children, on her own, but she didn't want to wake her husband up, so she went downstairs to do it.
Oh, that was very obliging
on her own
of her.
In front of the fire. Unbelievable.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky Virgin Radio.
On Monday, it was the aftermath of the marathon, the London Marathon, the day before. So Ping and Pong are back live and direct in their house. Bill and Walter here. 7 months and what will they be? What are we? 29, so 7 months and 10 days old. Today, the twins. With them, super mums here. Morning, sweetheart.
Morning.
So can you take people through what it was like for you? The real hero of yesterday, with 4 ankle biters, 2 twins, pair of twins there, a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, getting to 3 places successfully to cheer us lot along. How was that? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, it's just the best day of the year for me, other than Carfest.
Yes.
So watching the marathon is the best day of my year. It is just so much fun. It's about being organised.
Right.
If I can get to the right side of the road, you know where I am roughly, and just having everything that you need to keep the kids occupied for the rest of the day.
Right. I'm sort of aware of that bit, but the bit I don't get, because the bit I don't get to see,
yes,
is the underground, getting on the underground, getting through the barriers with the double buggy, getting on those packed tube trains. What's it like underground?
None of that matters. It's because everybody is in such a great mood. There was a guy yesterday, he obviously finished really quick, was on the tube platform. The rest of the tube, as he came down the stairs with his medal on, he was just getting on with his day, going home. The whole of the tube station just gave this massive cheer, and he stood on the other side of the tube and just gave this big bow, and everybody was, it was absolutely packed. It was just brilliant. Everybody's kind of polite. There's no pushing. It doesn't feel that way. It just feels like you're part of this amazing energy. And, you know, it's even, you know, you said to me, what about running it next year? I actually just love being with the kids and getting them to see all the wheelchairs coming through, and then all the elites and all the... It just really is the most special day. Everyone's so happy for everybody else, whatever they're doing. It's brilliant.
It's so true. I mean, the atmosphere on the side of the road, and I was there with our 4-year-old Mary, and we went from there to an actual fun fair, a fun fair in Battersea Park, and easily the highlight of her day was the hour and a half we spent at about mile 22 cheering on the runners, because they can just feel, and I'm sure the twins were the same, they can just feel all the positive energy. It's like crackling through the air, isn't it?
Yeah, they just all get it. All from you know, Noah's 10 now, from his age down to the babies. They just so peaceful and absorbing all the energy. It's brilliant.
Special ops Aussie Nick just said to me in the headphones when you were talking there, he said, this is why we married her. This is why we married you. All of us married you. She's not just my wife, she's the show's wife, is what she is. Until death us do part. Until the next contract at least is signed, you are the show's wife. So if you're not going to enter next year, or try and enter next year's London Marathon, what are you doing these 8-mile training runs for then, that you've been knocking out recently?
Well, I mean, there is a thing called Run Fest Run coming up.
Yeah.
So I've got to be match fit for that.
Uh-huh. But you're way ahead of the game for a half marathon. So what are these about? What are the 8-mile runs about? Tell me more. What are they about? Come on, it's a very simple question.
I suppose I've got Amsterdam in my sights.
Yeah, she's going to Amsterdam. She's on the plane. All right.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Dapper David, over to you.
She's the co-founder of a massively successful podcast, the author of a Sunday Times best-selling book, a screenwriter, a corporate speaker, a radio presenter, and a stand-up comedian. Please welcome the host of the Guilty Feminist podcast, and clearly incredibly lazy, Deborah from Frances White.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. Good morning, Deborah. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Chris. I'm terribly well. It's an unqualified delight to be here.
You are very busy. How do you? Is that a juggle there? Is that a juggle or is that a process?
I mean, it is, but I don't have any children, and that's the answer.
Okay, no, that does help massively, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I assume all my friends are sort of like, well, and I'm tired, and I'm like, the answer is, if you want to do too many things, don't have any. I mean, but mind you, I've got friends who do this many things and have children. They're just more tired.
Yeah, they're more tired and discombobulated. It's funny because people say to us, they say, so you're doing the radio, Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. What else are you doing? Well, we've got a million children. So those get up at city o'clock, do the show in London, go back home, look after the million children, come back to work the next day. That's basically it, isn't it?
And that's quite a busy day.
Yeah, that's quite a busy day. Okay, so with you on that, Deborah. I had no idea. 60 million downloads.
I know, that's a lot of downloads.
Congrats, my friend.
But listen, it's not me downloading it, it's the listeners. I barely downloaded ever.
Great title, isn't it? The Guilty Feminist. Because feminists can be over-feministic, can't they, I suppose?
Well, it's more that I feel like feminism has become something, another thing to feel guilty about. Like, you're not a good enough at your job, you're not a good enough mum, you're not here enough, you're not there enough. And feminism becomes another thing. I'm not good enough at this now, you know. Yeah. And actually, it should be a liberating thing where we say, hey, I can take up more space. And the idea is we don't have to be perfect to be a force for meaningful change. And this show will be like coming to a feminist church, like women who feel like, you know, listen, I'd like to things to be more equal. I'd like to take up more space. I'd like to apologise less. Come down to the theatre. We're going all around the country. See the dates on guiltyfeminist.com. There's going to be stand-up comedy. There's going to be amazing one-liners. We're going to be interviewing some feminists from your hometown, some women who are trying to change something in Halifax or in Manchester or something really local, interviewing them, something you can get involved in. And there's going to be music. We've got Jess Robinson from Britain's Got Talent. We've got Grace Petrie. So we're going to get everyone moving and grooving.
Sounds fantastic. And you sound fantastic.
Well,
because you're not just giving it, you're living it. It's different. Because when somebody comes on to plug something, you know if they're not interested, just taking the check, phoning it in, a bit interested, very interested, or beyond all that, and that's what you are. You're beyond all that.
I feel it deep down.
You live and breathe it. It's obvious because you're speaking what you do fluently, and therefore you're not repeating anything you've written. You're just talking because you talk it.
I really do care about it, but I also want to say,
can't you?
Absolutely.
I also want to say, men are really, really welcome in our space. We do have.
You shouldn't have said that because, as a man, I didn't think I wasn't. No, but now I suspect
men,
I might be.
No, some men do feel it because they hear feminists, they think it's not for me. But 20% of our audience are men, and so we make it really, really embracing.
It was going so well till then.
No, you didn't need
to put out that warning. For me, because it's not it's guilty feminists.
No, it's
so
true.
So it's all right. It's fine.
But you know, you're a very secure man, Chris Evans.
Well,
you've had a lot of validation over the years.
Well, I also have the power of mass hypnosis. Have you heard about that?
No.
Breaking news, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Mass
hypnosis.
What happened?
Well, you'll find out later when you leave and I clip my fingers and you're back in the city.
I'm back in the room. Am I going to start acting like a feminist who's a chicken later?
It's so funny because the other night, this is true, the other night, last week, I went on, Noah and I went on, because before Noah finally took himself in for bed, he can have a little read and then he can pick 10 minutes of something good off the internet. We Googled, hypnotise yourself. You can hypnotise yourself.
Did it work? Did you try?
No, because we both watched it and should we have a go? He said, Daddy, to be honest, I'm a bit scared. I said, so am I. Right, good night, see you, love you, God bless. And that was it.
Wow. Yeah. And to this moment, you're not sure if you're significantly
hypnotised. I don't know, I've no idea
hypnotized.
Anymore. What do you think?
I think hypnosis is one of those things that both parties have to be in agreement for it to happen. It definitely works. I've been hypnotised.
Like a party wall.
Yes.
You've been hypnotised.
Yes. Like a party wall, we both have to be...
Do you know, by
the
way...
Oh, I've definitely had hypnosis.
Do you know,
yeah,
by the way, if your extension is under 4 metres high and a certain length and width, do you know you don't need planning permission? Do you know that? You just need permission from either neighbour.
Well, I'd never get permission
Did you know
from
that?
My neighbour.
It varies council to council, but basically, yes.
Can I just say, it's really important that it varies council to council because I don't want you going to the trouble of erecting a wall and saying, Chris Evans said, and then the council comes along. It's all right, really.
I think that could well stand up in a court of law. Chris Evans said.
After
Chris Evans on Virgin Radio said.
The only person it wouldn't work for is me, but I think it worked for most other people.
Do you have nice neighbours? Are your neighbours terribly famous? Do you live between Jonathan Ross and one of the Sugar Babes?
Why would you think that?
I just feel you do. Yeah. Which sugar babe do you live next to?
All of them.
You sandwich between two sugar babes.
That's what it is. The Guilty Feminist Live is on tour and it starts tomorrow and you'd be mad to miss it.
Yeah. Can you especially say some of if you're in Halifax.
Can you say some of the places it's going to be on, please, Chris Evans? Because I feel people will listen to you.
Don't really have time. But Wednesday 1st of May through till Saturday 8th June, you might find, if you look very carefully, you might find the Guilty Feminist Live in Halifax, Birmingham, Hull, Newcastle, Salford, Colchester, Richmond, Southend, Cardiff, Cambridge, Aylesbury, Bournemouth, Oxford, Southampton, Sheffield, Coventry, Plymouth, Brighton, Glasgow, Leicester, Nottingham, Woking, London and Belfast.
I found that a little arousing at the end.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.